What's going on, everybody? Hunting Out Loud, your host, Rob Marchand, and we're talking with John Abbott. Jeez. Well, see, John and I, we already been talking politics for about 30 minutes. So what's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Robbie?
Doing good. So John up Maryland way, and before we get on all that stuff again, John, well, we had it going too, didn't we? I should have hit the record button.
Somebody would have enjoyed it.
Well, you know, the right would have. Well, I can't say the right because, you know. Anyways, Trump fans would enjoy it for sure.
But absolutely,
we'll get canceled. We don't watch it. So, just a part of that, he was talking about, you know, going after our guns, and we won't get all into that right now. But I've been making a lot of ammo runs. How's the ammo shortage up your way? Is it pretty rough?
Yeah, there is not much ammo around. Not much ammo around at all. And if you find some, you pay top dollar for it, for sure.
Well, I'm telling you. So I've had my best luck. If you hit it right, like if you walk in just as the shipment hits, you know, of course you're limited so many boxes, but I've been running up to Cabela's, and of course you can only get 5 boxes of ammo up there, but I've been doing all right up there.
Yeah.
Just catching
it. I've got, you know, right much ammo. I've always kept plenty on hand, but you never can have enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
But I feel for the people that that didn't, because it's been tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen some people, you know, trying to find turkey loads. I mean, that's pretty bad. You can't find turkey loads, which...
Right, right.
You know, I was at Field and Stream last weekend, and they had just stuffed the shelves with longbeards. But they was all 3.5, and a few weekends before, I'd bought a few boxes of 3-inch longbeards. And getting into all that, we got turkey hunting coming. I actually made a little list, and we was going to talk about it last, but since we're already into it, I mean, what's your preference when it comes to turkey loads? Everybody has their favorites.
I usually just stick with the 3-inch. Mm-hmm. I used to use 3.5, but I usually just use the 3-inch Remingtons, and it's been a good load. I haven't had any problems, any failures, and so that's the kind of way I am in. I'm a Remington guy.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of stick with them.
Well, you know, of course now, and some people's like, oh, my gosh, you got to have TSS or long beards. And I'm a long beard guy. But was it last year or the year before? Whatever. We weren't even having an ammo shortage, and for some reason I didn't have long beards. I thought I had some and didn't have them anyhow. So I had, and I'm actually looking at some right now because I cleaned my turkey vest out, and I put a couple on the table right here, and all I could find was those Remingtons, and I ended up killing 2 gobblers with it. One was pretty close, but the other one was probably about 35 yards, and smashed him.
Right. Yeah, I've had good luck with them. Generally, they're easy to get, and yeah. You know, it's not like you're having to pattern your gun all the time. You know, if it shoots good and it works, you know, stick with it.
So, is there any particular choke that you like using, or?
Yeah, I always use the full with the turkey load.
Uh-huh.
And, like I say, shooting either a 870 Wingmaster or I got a 1187, and I've just had good success with the patterns. With those loads.
Man, the 1187, that thing's sweet.
I love it, man. My feelings will be hurt if anything ever happened to it.
Hey, and you know, do you duck hunt with that?
Yeah, sure do.
I see. Now, when I can remember, because my first gun was a old Topper 158 410. but then I got the Remington 1100 20 gauge. You know, when I was still young, and someone, I can't remember, maybe it was Grandpa, had 1187, and I mean, that was the talk of the town. You know, you had to have, I need 1187, but I think I might buy me one now, since I'm on a gun buying spree with all this stimulus money, if I can find one.
I seen a guy posted today, 8 guns under $1,400 each.
That's all I've bought. That's what I've spent my money on. like the stimulus money. It's all been a.
My son went and bought a Franchi today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's been wanting one. A couple of our duck hunting buddies switched a couple years ago, and mm-hmm. they swear by the 20 gauge for waterfowl, turkey, and all of it. And so he's been wanting one, and he's got an 870,
mm-hmm.
but he wanted to get that, and it's light, 26-inch barrel. You don't lose no, you know, range. So she's on the way. It was the last one.
Well, I have a friend that's Ashley. She's getting into the waterfowl and stuff, and she was kind of mulling it over, thinking, you know, maybe she might need a 12 gauge or whatever, but or 20. So I need to. I'll tell her about that.
Yeah.
To check one of the. It's the Franchi, you say?
The same gun is the M2.
Which one is it, John?
Shoot, I forget the model right now off the top of my head, but yeah. He said it's basically the same thing as the M2.
And real light, easy to handle, and all that good
yep.
stuff. Hey,
yeah.
That'd be perfect. Well, a lot of people use 20 gauge nowadays. Well, they use the 410s for turkey hunting nowadays. You know, they use that TSS,
yeah.
and I haven't used it. I mean, I know it shoots good. I have $50 for, or it's $10 a shell, but I mean, I'm not knocking anyone that uses it. I know it. I can't get over that. Like, I looked at it, and I was like, man, I'm going to get me some of that TSS, and it was like $49 for five, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, me neither. That's a hard one to swallow.
That's tough, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Especially, like, you know, you've had luck with your Remington, and I've always had luck with the old Longbeards. But, you know, it's turkey hunting crap. You're supposed to be calling them in anyways, getting close. You know, so how is the turkey hunting?
I walked out with the dog, I guess, last week with those warm days. We had some 60-degree weather here for about a week,
mm-hmm.
and heard the first gobble
yeah.
one morning about daylight, and then on the way to work, I seen three strutting the same day. I was like, uh-huh, it's right around the corner. I seen 10 bearded gobblers in one field.
Mm.
So I'm getting pretty excited.
Well, I guarantee it. I mean, it sounds like you have something going on. I was getting ready to ask you that, how the turkey hunting was up there in Maryland.
Yeah, we've got a good population. We had a couple years. You know, you don't know who to believe. The scientists say it's one thing, and then the hunters say it's something else. But we didn't see quite as many for a couple years. But this year, I can tell already that they're starting to come back. We got good numbers, but mm-hmm. it wasn't quite like it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, you know, you know what the scientists were saying, or the hunters were saying when the numbers were low? I was just curious. I mean, what the word was.
The scientists were saying it was something to do with the spray that they were using on mm-hmm. the soybeans.
Yeah, it could be.
And it was making the shell thin and had a higher mortality rate.
Hmm. See,
so I don't know, you know. We may never know.
I would have never thought of that. But I could definitely see where that could be a problem. What was the hunter saying? Or do you know?
They were blaming it on the predation. They were blaming it on, like, foxes were getting really, really thick, you know, where the fur prices were cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was trapping, et cetera, you know, so that the predation was higher. I can see either one of those things being, you know, a valid, you know, reason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you, I knew I was talking about Grandpa earlier, and there was a game warden that used to come up there to the house all the time when I was a kid, and they was just getting turkeys, you know, repopulated, getting them going, and I can remember him talking about owls. He said, man, them owls will run those turkeys, you know, right off the roost and kill them like crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
I can believe that, too.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, I don't know how many times I've called in a bobcat was, you know, calling to a turkey. So, I mean, like I said, predators, they whoop on them a lot. I would think when they're young in the spring or whatever, I mean, the hawks and the eagles and everything we have flying around here, and of course the owls. I mean, I don't see how they keep them alive, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
I mean, because them eagles, I know they play heck on the ducks, and you know that, being the waterfowl hunter.
They're precision hunting instruments there.
Oh, my gosh. You see eagles, you know it's on. So how was your waterfowl season?
Well, you know, it was excellent,
mm-hmm.
but it was very different.
Mm-hmm.
The normal puddle ducks that we hunted, black ducks, some mallards, you know, gadwall, the bluebills and redheads, diver ducks, they were not present. We put a lot of hours, spent a lot of fuel, burned a lot of fuel riding in the boat, riding in the truck, scouting. And those numbers of birds we never saw. So we switched up. It was good. We had a wet winter, and the timber was flooded, and we annihilated the wood ducks. We had excellent success with the wood ducks, but our hunt would consist of getting up at 4 o'clock, getting into some public land first, hunting, going home, cleaning the birds, and then headed right back out into the timber to scout for tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it was pretty much a 12-hour day to prepare for your next hunt. But it was fun. It was good. We're not complaining.
Well, for those of you that haven't went waterfowl hunting, I'm just telling you, waterfowl hunting is work. Out of all the hunting that I do, you know, it's mainly turkey hunting, deer hunting, and waterfowl hunting, and, you know, just a little coyote hunting here or there or whatever. Hopefully I get a few other trips out west soon, but, you know, deer hunting is kind of a 365 thing. We've talked about it on the show here before. You and I might have talked about it, John. But, you know, just kind of putting the minerals out, and then you'll be glassing them, watching them in the fields here for long in August and all this and that, and set your stands up, blah, blah, kind of get set in there. And there's a lot of work to deer hunting. And for some people that have their farms and leases, I mean, they're working their tail off and getting their food plots in. And, man, there is a lot of work. There's a lot of work. But waterfowl hunting is like a different type of work. It's like you're not sleeping. Am I right?
You're right. You're right. You're 100% right.
I mean, and you're packing stuff. It's like you're just packing stuff and you're just going through the worst weather. What is it?
Every single time. You know, there's not like you got a stand set and now, you know, you're only going to hunt 3 hours tomorrow. All you got to carry is your bow. There's none of that. You got to carry everything every time.
You're packing everything. I mean, the whole world. You know, of course, everybody knows, and we got to go out west. I went out with some friends, Cody and Brad and Justin and Nick, and I had a blast. First time I ever went on a trip like that. And you know, I'm new at the waterfowl pretty much, and of course, I got to take cash. And man, we had a blast.
But
we didn't sleep. We had to get out to the hole because it's public land, like at 2 o'clock in the morning and sit there and it freezes.
And wait for the sun. Yeah.
But it was worth it. And then do it all over again, you know.
So, absolutely. My son and I were talking about some different trips and stuff. And we actually had an invite to go elk hunting this year. And we were like, man, you know what? We could take that same money and go on a duck hunt out west and probably enjoy it a lot more.
Well, yeah, probably so. I would love to do the elk hunt, too. That'd be a tough one. But there's just something about waterfowl hunting. It's the camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
It's just so much fun. And, I mean, nobody knows who even shoots the ducks. Or at least everybody's shooting. You're just, then now I see you have a pup, so are you training your pup, or what's going on there? I thought I seen you with a pup.
Yeah, we had to put our black lab down a year ago this past November.
Oh, geez.
And I was, it hurt bad. And
no
I
doubt.
I didn't want to get another dog. And my son and daughter, it was one of his travel ball friends. They bred some dogs. They had, had 10 pups, and he said, we got these pups. And my son said, well, yeah. He said, well, let me know. He said, I might be interested in one of them. Well, he called him on a Friday afternoon and said, look, there's 6 weeks, and we're, letting them go, and we got, like, 6 left. If you want one, you better come on down.
Mm-hmm.
I was going perch fishing the next morning in his boat, my son's boat, so I was hit at his house. My daughter pulls up. I said, what are you doing? Oh, we're going to look at puppies. Mm. And you want to go? So I wound up going down there, and we were talking about names on the way there, and my daughter mentioned Teal.
Mm.
And we were like, man, that is a pretty cool name. Well, we got down there. We seen this dog. We fell in love with him, his color, and he had a teal collar on.
Oh, my goodness.
So that sealed the deal.
Yeah,
so,
that's a sign right there.
Yeah, we got him, and I've been training him. I've got a water dog, been reading that. And, of course, I've had the book. I've used it in the past, but we're getting him ready. He's got his 4 basic commands down
mm-hmm.
right now, and here within the next week or two, he's going to graduate from kindergarten to serious training.
Right.
But he's doing good, and I hate to brag because you know how dogs are. They take a spell every once in a while.
That is what it is.
Get hard-headed.
Yeah.
But the other day, I threw 2 dummies, and he took one and pushed the other to me.
Yeah.
So it makes you feel good, you know?
Oh, my gosh. It makes you feel so good, and there's everybody, takes, just like you got, everybody's, they have their thing. Some people, their thing is just strictly working with these dogs and going to the field trials. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's great. Right.
Yeah, it's awesome to watch them work.
It's awesome to watch them work, and I like to learn from them guys. And then, there's guys like myself that's never even had a dog, just picked up a dog, and I started training with the water dog. And, I worked with him every single day. Now, you've done this, John. I mean, how many dogs have you trained? Is this your second one? Or?
No, that's the third one.
So, you know how to read him. And what I've learned from training Cash is, if he's messing up, I'm confusing him on something.
Yep.
For the most part, I think people don't understand that. He's
right.
They're always trying to figure out what you want. You just have to make them, you have to understand how to connect with them, I guess.
Right. It's kind of like what he says there in the book. He's basically at this point got a 4-word vocabulary. That's all he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Sit, stay, no,
mm-hmm.
the basics. We throw out all this feel.
He hears
go
you.
Get it, or we confuse them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you start saying all that stuff, and but it's when they come through, and Cash, of course, he got his first duck this year. It was a wood duck, and I didn't know what to expect, and I was just going to take him out. Let's see, he was probably 10 months at that time, but he'd been doing good, and he's been patient, and but you get some of these guys that's all they're into, and they want to criticize everything. I'm like, come on, he's a $400 dog. I've never done this. And, he did get a duck, but he's hard-mouthing it. Whatever.
Sorry. Who cares, right?
Yeah, I could care less. I'm going to take him about 10 times.
Me either. I really couldn't.
But just seeing him going and getting that duck, I didn't expect him to. Honestly, I just took him, and, we got some wood ducks and Cash. It's like watching my son at the free throw line, all that anxiety and stuff,
100%, yeah.
So, I love it.
Yeah, there's nothing like that feeling. It's a lot of work. It's every day. There's no days off.
No.
To see it pay off like that is so rewarding.
Oh, it is. And it's for the it's for him, like for Teal. For me, I'm not going to get tore up if he makes a mistake or he doesn't bring the duck back. But I know how hard he's worked, and, you love your dog like your child, really, and you just want to see him do good. And then we end up going to Kansas, and of course, them guys were good as gold, and all them guys, they're veteran waterfowl hunters, and they've been around other dogs, and they already knew Cash's situation with me as first time trainer and stuff like that, and how young he was, and he just burned it up. I think it was easier because we was killing a lot of ducks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just got me.
I was going to say that earlier. We've been blessed. A lot of the public land that we hunt, you cannot hunt it without a dog. I mean, you're wasting game. You're not going to be able to retrieve the ducks. There's been people actually die in these places trying to do that, and they drown. You know, blood is silt. It's up to your chest. You know, you're not, once you get in it, you're not getting out. But anyway, it's a honey hole. We call it the black duck hole. Is what we call it. And that's where most of my dogs, and this dog will too, get his start, because it's a good spot, and the ducks all want to be there, and they get some action, they get some experience, they get to see a lot of stuff right there. It makes a big difference than just going out and sitting in duck blind, you know.
Yeah.
And never pulling the trigger or only killing a duck or two, you know.
Yeah, they don't understand, you know.
Yeah.
You take them out there, like, what are we doing? I have all this. And, you know, teal will be young this coming season, like Cash was this season. You take them out there and they're like, what? I have all this room to play and you're going to make me sit here? But if you come out firing, you know, now Cash, when I take him, you know, when we come back from out west, you know, I took him down to a little hole, and actually we got into him for a weekend. It was just me and him. And I was one away from getting my greenhead limit for the weekend. And I didn't expect that, but I just noticed, whereas me and him, you know, as soon as I grabbed that gun, I mean, he was hunkered down. You know, after the out west trip there, he just, you grab a gun now, I mean, he's looking. He's like,
right.
All right,
he knows what's up.
What's going on? Man, that cracks me up. And I mean, I've seen that on people's videos and stuff. And of course, you know, it's just, that just took waterfowl hunting to a different level for me, just to go hunting with him, be honest with you.
Yeah, to watch that dog work and use the what was bred into him, you know, his instinct.
And then you get some, you know, you always got them guys wanting to whine and cry and this and that. He shouldn't be out there in the ice. He's too young and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, just shut up. Go to your field trial. You know, I ain't got nothing against that, but it gets, I mean, give me a break. This is the way people are. It's nature. Some people just toxic. But so anyways, you got a fun journey ahead of you right there with Teal, no doubt. You've been there before. So up in that area, like, shoot, you know, down here, if we would see an old squaw, it would be crazy. But I guess you have them in that area where you're at.
Yeah, there are lots of them.
Yeah, that's what someone was telling me. One of these waterfowl hunters around here actually went up, maybe close to you somewhere, just to kill one. You know, it's down here, you know, you don't see that. But is there any particular duck, like, you know, it's just like the white buffalo that you like to kill and put on the wall? Or?
Well, man, there's so many.
Oh, I know.
I love them all. There's so many, it's hard to choose. Mm-hmm. But I guess if I want to target a duck and I want to kill a duck, I love shooting redheads.
Oh man!
And they decoy so great. Well, most of the time it's duck hunting. There's no guarantees, and you know there's some bright sunny days and they see a glare off a decoy and flare like a big dog too. But for the most part, you know, you get the right day, they decoy well, and when they do it dirty, and it is so thrilling.
Man, they're so beautiful too. You know, when we was out there, I've never killed a redhead, and of course, you know how you get talking, you get a little lull in action or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we're all goofing, eating beef jerky, whatever we're doing, frying hamburgers, and hear a redhead just poof right there in front of us lands. Of course, it got away. I mean, like 15 yards, just bam right there. That's the only one we seen while we was out there, or I seen.
Oh, but, wow.
That's the only one I've actually seen while I've been waterfowl hunting. I know it sounds crazy, but I haven't seen. So there's a lot of ducks I haven't killed.
We didn't get the numbers. I'll bet you last year on any given day you could see 10,000 redheads and
some bluebills
mixed in them, another 3,000 to 5,000 bluebills mixed in them or in different groups. But this year, I bet the biggest group of redheads I saw was maybe 1,000 birds.
Really?
I'd
pass out.
The guys up the bay, we got a group. We keep stay connected with each other and kind of feel it out. You know, the birds moving down from up the bay, and they killed them for about a week up there. And then they left there, and they didn't come down here. So I have no idea where they went.
It's just duck hunting. It's crazy.
Yeah. We never had no real bad weather till the last few days of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We had some ice, and I don't know. The birds didn't show up then, so I don't know.
Migratory. I tell you, you know, when we had that ice storm down here, I don't know if you all got hit with the ice storm. But you probably seen it on the news where we got hammered.
Yeah, I did.
When that happened, the rivers around here was just full. I was like, good Lord. I mean, we don't get it. This is not a big – no one's going to come here and duck hunt, you know, and eastern Kentucky. But, you know, if there's weather up north, you know, we'll get a few for a few days.
Right.
But, man, I just – everywhere you went, you know, looking at the rivers, just whack, whack, it's just crazy. So anyways,
we didn't see the numbers of pintails and gadwall widgeon. We didn't see the big number. We saw some and we killed a few. You know, it wasn't like it was non-existent, but it wasn't like it was last year. But last year we had a little more ice, a little bit colder weather at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what we did is the teal hung around.
Oh man,
we were seeing 300 teal groups on the last day of the season.
See, I still haven't killed teal. Man, them things are so fast. How about those? Now, that's a beautiful bird. That cinnamon teal, I guess, out west.
Yeah. I have not seen one here, but I've seen pictures of them. They are beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, my God, they're beautiful. Whew. I love duck hunting.
Yeah, I'm addicted.
I'm addicted to that.
And, you know, I'm so thrilled. You know, I did it all when I was younger. Then I had a son. And then, you know, of course, I want my son to do it all. But at that point in my life, I was a addicted deer hunter, bow hunter.
Right.
I'm 365, you know, and twice on Sundays. You know, that was bad. And I wanted him to be that way. And, you know, he did it. And he was very patient. He did well, you know, and he loves deer hunting. But I took him duck hunting for the first time, and it was kitty barred a door. It was all over. He found his love. It rekindled my love, and now we enjoy that time together, and that's why I like it so much. Like
absolutely.
You said, camaraderie.
You know, you two out there scouting and with your other waterfowl hunting buddies, and it's just so much into it. It's just, I mean, once you're there finally hunting, it's just like a, I don't know. You all that don't do it, I would say go out there and try it at least once. I mean, that's what I did. I tried it once, and now, you know, here we are talking about waterfowl hunting. And I said there a couple months ago this would be the last waterfowl episode for this year, and we're still talking about it because you can't.
Right, right, absolutely. We'll still be talking about it. We'll be drum fishing here in a month or two, and we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, just looking forward to it. It's just so much fun with your friends and your family. It's just the best. And then with your, you know, you have Teal going with you. I'll have Cash and whoever's dog. My friend Ashley, she's taking Cara, her lab, up to get some training done. So she'll have her out, and it's just a blast.
Yeah, exciting.
You was talking about I will tell you one more thing. I'm getting out of control with taxidermy on these ducks. I mean,
it doesn't take long.
No, are you like that? I mean, do you have a problem with it? I have a problem. I have three in the freezer right now.
Well, I went through it when I was young. When I was 20 years old, I guess, it was before I got married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had been doing it for a while, but then I actually had some money when I was 20 before I got married and had a job, et cetera.
Right.
And I went off. You know, I got one of everything. And now not so much, you know. There's a few ducks that I would love to get mounted, but I keep looking at it like, man, I could buy X amount of dozen decoys,
yeah,
or buy this, or buy, you know.
I need to chill out. you know, I killed my first two ducks. I had to get it. Then I killed a gadwall. Well, that's a common duck, you know, for most people, for people that actually duck hunt a lot. But for me, I was like, ooh, that's, I got to get that mounted. So, and then this year, you know, Cash's first two wood ducks, or his first two ducks, retrievals was wood ducks. Got to get them mounted. And then the first time we go by ourselves after we come back from out west, we go down to the river, and it's the first time I had him in the river. Well, to me, that was a big deal, you know, because that's a different game for a young pup, and it wasn't too swift, but I felt like, okay, you know, I've had him in the creeks, I've had him out in the river, but this is a different situation, scenario, whatever. And, you know, so I kill the first mallard I kill, and he retrieves there. You know, I got to get it mounted, so I'm on. But here's the problem is, you know, I know if I kill a widgeon, you know, you have to get that mounted. And then if I kill a pintail or a redhead or probably a teal, I'm in trouble.
He's taking a ride.
I know it. I'm going
to get... I do have a canvasback in the freezer that I killed this year.
And a canvasback, for crying out loud. Who would not mount that? I mean, I'm mounting my first canvasback. I'm going to end up...
It's not my first one, but it is the first one that was in really good shape and you know, mountable quality bird. So he's probably going to get a ride.
Now,
the taxidermist told me to hold off because he was pretty booked up right now. Matter of fact, he quit taking orders.
Did he really?
Yeah.
So do you just use one taxidermist, or do you have a couple different taxidermists?
No, just one guy.
Does he do your fish and everything, I guess?
I don't have any fish mounted.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he does do a few deer, but his specialty is ducks.
Ducks. See, I mean, some of that waterfowl taxidermy, you know, I'm just looking at it, not pick on anybody. They're either really good at it or they're just not good at it, like cats. I mean, bobcats and mountain lions. I was talking to Dan Shelton. I mean, you just got to be careful, don't you, when you go looking around for taxidermists for those two things, anyways, in my experiences. But, anyways, I got to get off the taxidermy with the waterfowl. It's just too much fun, John.
Yeah. It can lead to a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure. Waterfowl definitely break the bank. So,
yeah, I told my son, like, very short into it. And, you know, he's like, Dad, we don't have this. Dad, we don't have that. I was like, son, we could spend $10,000 today a piece, and we'd still not have enough stuff.
No.
You know, you got to have a big boat. You got to have a little boat.
I've got to have
these equals.
Yeah, you have to have it all.
Yeah.
I mean, you seriously, if you're going to do it, and it never ends. So when we go out to this one spot, it's public land. Down here, you know, you really use the mojos. I don't know if you guys use them or not.
But we use them in certain situations.
I guess certain places they work. Like, you know, I don't know a lot about it. But I do know when we go out there, these other guys kind of was coming to where we was, to our hole. And then we talked to them. They was real nice. And I've talked about this, so it's no secret. But we was like, well, if we start smashing them or whatever, Cody told them, you all can come down here. And they was like, nah, no problem. And they just kind of go. But we could still see them where they was. They kind of go on down to the other side. And they put up some mojos. Man, they wasn't calling or nothing. I mean, they was just, for whatever reason, them birds was just falling on top of their mojos. We didn't have a mojo. And we was a mile from the truck. And we had one in the truck. And there goes Cody. I'm going to get that mojo. And he in his waders, and you know how hard that is. He walks about a mile, comes back.
Oh,
I kid you not, it wasn't just a few minutes. By the time he turned that mojo on, we started smacking him. That's weird, isn't it? For whatever reason.
Yeah, we found here black ducks. They're hard to. I don't know if you do. You have many black ducks in your area?
We'll see them. Yeah.
We have a lot of them, and they are very wary birds, period.
Mm-hmm.
The best time to kill them is in a snowstorm when they can't see you or they can't see, period. You know what I mean? That's the kind of bird they are. They don't decoy very well. they shy away from a mojo. So if you're, you know, if you're hunting in puddle ducks with mixed with black ducks, you know, you're probably not going to get many shots with a mojo. But mallards, widgeon, the teal, and the gadwall, they love them.
That's weird, isn't it? And I've seen that. That's what I've seen out there. That's what Cody said. He said, man, you know, back here we don't have very much good luck with the mojos. But, yeah.
And we last year we incorporated them into our diver spread, which we put out anywhere from 300 to 500 redhead and bluebill decoys. And we, you know, leave a big hole and put at the front of that hole, we'll put a couple mojos. And the diver seemed to like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it has its application, but I have seen the very opposite, too. Geese don't like them unless you can, you know, you have a switch, you can turn it off, that they'll tolerate that. And the black ducks, which we have a big population of, they don't like them.
That's weird, isn't it? Experience.
Yeah.
You have that experience, so that's good to know. I'll keep an eye on that stuff. I'm just learning. I did order me some mojos, though, after being out there.
It can't hurt. I mean, they have their application. And
just pay attention.
Yeah, yeah, they have their application. You know, you kind of read the birds. We've been hunting old farm pond and just really, you know, hoping to kill some geese and some wood ducks and see some migratory mallards mile high. And they see that mojo and they are just locked up. You know, there's no question about it. You know, they are coming.
Huh. That's weird. Is what it, so before we get off the waterfowl, since we're just hammering on waterfowl, because I mean, you know, it's fun. What's your favorite to eat, you know, table fare as far as waterfowl?
My personal is wood duck.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I like
wood
duck.
That's personally my favorite. You know, everybody's got the preference. If I had to pick a second one, it would definitely be a black duck. They tend to feed up in the more brackish freshwater, you know, creeks and stuff, and they don't tend to be as fishy as some of the others, you know, can be. And, you know, old black duck, they're, and a wood duck, they are known to sneak in a cornfield at nighttime, you know, and feed.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps the flavor of the meat.
Yeah. They're definitely good. The little stinkers are fast, too. Those wood
ducks.
Oh,
yeah. There is no more fun, no more fun than five guns and a flock of 25 wood ducks come into the spread. There's not a lot more fun than that.
Oh my gosh, that's where Cody and I went over here close to home on public land. We wasn't really expecting to see a whole lot. We was just getting out and trying to work with cash. And my gosh, wood ducks start pouring in there and just dropping like little bombs. But we were sitting there by the tree, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, and it's a big old slough, swampy area or whatever. And it has a lot of flooded timber there as well. That it was behind us. And you just hear something. I asked Cody, what is that, a truck or something? And it was them wood ducks. Whew, you know how they make that noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there were so many of
them.
Oh, my gosh. That was fun.
There's an impoundment across the field from my house. It's probably 700, 800, maybe 1,000 yards away. And every night when they come from the river, they fly right over my house. And if you're standing out there in the yard, you know, it startles you because it's, you know, they're gone before you hear them, but long before you see them. You know?
Oh, my gosh, they're loud, huh? No doubt. Well, gee whiz, John, we got onto the waterfowl kick. So, I was wanting to, you know, last time we talked, I do remember talking about the striper fishing. Of course, I'll be going down to Cumberland and doing a little striper fishing with Damon and a little turkey hunting. But, you know, how's the striper fishing going up there? I know when we talked last, you know, we was kind of talking about, you know, how people kill stripers, you know, unintentionally,
yeah.
I guess. So, how's everything going now? Pretty much same or what?
Yeah, I can only assume, you know, late in the fall in November, the breeding size, I'm talking 40, 50 inch fish, they come out of the ocean from up north, Jersey and New York and they migrate down and back up into the mouth of the bay, and they kind of lay out there between the Bay Bridge Tunnel and Tangier Island, and they just kind of lay there waiting to go up into the heads of the rivers and spawn this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to go down there and get on some of those fish. My buddy at work, he's a firefighter, and he only works, what, two or three shifts a week, so he runs a charter boat on his days off, and they caught some of the biggest ones
really?
That I have seen in a while. But it didn't get a lot of numbers, you know. They caught, you know, 4, 5, 6 fish some days, but not a lot of numbers. And, you know, they're probably at the mouths of the rivers now just waiting if they ain't already going up in there to spawn. So I don't know. I haven't been out there. I do know that while we were setting decoys out a couple times this winter, that we saw small rockfish, you know, 12, 14, 15-inch rockfish, you know, messing around in the spread. And real late, my brother-in-law just bought a home down on the eastern shore of Virginia, and I was down there. I carried my fishing rod with me, and I caught some off the dock down there, you know, 15, 16-inch fish, and it was pretty late.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming, you know, the small ones are, you know, still really plentiful, and just hoping that, you know, they have a good spawn this year, and we, you know, can have a good hatch so that the population can come back from, you know, we talked about last time, that, you know, the accidental kills and then the gill nets and stuff like that.
We'll see, you know, until I start fishing with Damon. You just don't think about it. And then I talked with you, which you had, you know, a lot of knowledge on all that stuff. But you was talking about a 50 or 60 pounders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how old is that fish, you think?
They say 25, a fish that size is 25 to 35 years old.
See, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Once you catch that fish, I mean, it's probably dead anyways, right? Is that the way it goes?
Well, it depends on the water temperature. If mm-hmm. the water temperature is cool, usually the mortality is very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
But if the water temperature is warm, it stresses that fish out. Even the little ones
mm-hmm.
Have a hard time recovering from a decent fight on rod and reel. Up around Annapolis, they got a huge charter business up there. And, you know, the state rolled the dice. They said, well, we're going to close the season in July, and we're going to open it back up in August,
mm-hmm.
which was totally backwards.
Right.
You know, August is our hottest month of the year.
So,
and they I got some friends up that way. They said the 18, 19-inch, 20-inch rockfish were dead floating around the banks where they had, you know, you take a charter out there, you want to catch some fish, and, you know, you're going to release a lot of them because you're only allowed 2 fish per person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said the mortality was horrific. So this year, the state did change that. They closed it in August instead of July. So, you know, time will tell.
Well, see, to me, it just doesn't make any sense. If you're catching them when the water's warm, then you're pulling them out of the deep. I mean, I'm not a, you know, big guru on it, but you know they're going to die.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't understand why you'd have a season. I mean, you got to think about that.
Yeah.
You're talking
yeah.
about a 50-pound. I'm not saying that those they're catching that time of year is that big, but whatever you're catching that time of year, it's going to die. Okay,
yeah.
So you catch your 2. Why continue fishing? That's the only problem. I do know, you know, when I'm fishing with Damon, as soon as we catch our limit,
you're done.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, say we have 3 in the boat, and Damon, you know, if I go down there with him and one of the, you know, we start get a bite or whatever, we get a hit, he starts reeling in the other ones, the other rods.
Yeah.
I mean, he's reeling them right now because he knows if he hooks one, he's got to turn it loose and it's going to die.
Right.
And a lot of the other guys down there on the charters, the guides, I mean, they do the same thing. So I just don't know. It sounds like.
Yeah, I'm pretty aggravated with you know, what we don't know as sportsmen, you know, what the state and the stakeholders, they call it in the language, in the laws, you know, who are these stakeholders and why do they have a part in this? You know, why do they have a say in this? And right now in the state of Maryland, when the season does come in recreational, a sportsman can keep one fish per person, mm-hmm. and a charter boat can still keep two, which I get it. You know, it's right. like the paying charter. I kind of get that.
I do, but, I mean, you would have to think if that's your business, you should know you're shooting yourself in the foot there.
Absolutely.
After
absolutely.
Your customers get there, too, and you just sit out there and let them continue fishing. I mean, you're just hurting yourself.
Yeah, you're hurting your future, yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
And, like, last year, they closed down the trophy season, which is those 40- and 50-inch mm-hmm. fish. After they spawn, they give you last year it was 2 weeks. It's normally 30 days, but usually you only get about 3 weeks out of it anyway, and them fish are already going down the bay to go back out in the ocean. They did cut it short, and Virginia actually closed their trophy season altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're trying to make steps, but they admitted themselves they knew they had a problem in 2009. Well, why did you wait till 2019 to make a change?
There's somebody getting some, you know, yeah. It makes you feel like someone's getting some kickback somewhere. I mean,
because
why?
Stuff that we don't know, you know, as sportsmen, we don't know, you know.
Yeah, it just seems like an easy fix. You know,
yeah.
down
yeah,
here.
It's common sense, and I'm not a biologist, but it's common sense.
Well, honestly, I mean, you wouldn't think there would have to be a law to do what's right. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
If you're, you know, I, like you said, if the customers or whoever that come onto these charters go out with these guides, you know, they're just going fishing. They probably don't know. But the guides
yeah.
and people
yeah,
taking
they,
them.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of their customers probably don't have a clue what the laws are.
No, well, and they don't know how it's affecting the fish either. You know, they probably don't
exactly.
know. Just throw it back. It's going to go back, swim off, and live.
Right, exactly.
But it's weird. You know, down here in Cave Run, they was taking up whatever, trying to get signatures to make the limit of the muskie 45 inches to keep one. Well, you know, that's probably a 10 or 12-year-old fish there, I guess. I don't
right.
know.
And right.
I don't know why you'd even want to keep one after that size myself. But, you know, and I'm not a big fisherman either. It's not like it's my passion or my thing. But I just think, I don't know, something 10, 12, 15 years old like that, I just have a lot of respect for it out there.
Yeah.
Swimming around. And I just, for me, just to kill it, to eat it, I sound like an Anna hunter, I guess, but it's just weird.
Nah, I totally, one of these big rockfish, I've eat them back in the day. They were, you know, when they first opened rock season back up, it was closed here for years and years, and then they opened it back up and had a great population of fish and a lot of those breeding size fish, you know, 50-inch fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I've eat them, and it's beautiful meat, white,
oh,
flaky,
yeah.
big chunks of meat, but it had zero flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into some of your other species that get that old and that size, and it's real grainy, or, you know, it's really not that palatable. I'd much rather have, you know, a 20-inch fish to eat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they are good. Those, you know, that's about, you know, when we're down in Cumberland, you know, we'll catch 130-something inches every once in a while where we fish at. You have to go to the river to catch the bigger ones, from what I'm told. But, I don't know. It's weird. Even like the muskie, I'm like, why in the world do you have to pass a law for that? Who would want to just go out there and target muskie to eat them? But they do.
Right. Especially fish that size.
Yeah, fish that size. I mean, good night. So the live bait deal, I think, is what gets them muskies in trouble a lot of times. People use
yeah.
a live bait, and of course, they swallow the hook and all this and that, and or even limb lines, you know. They'll put them limb lines out, and, you know, muskie get on there. And so that's what's going on down the Cave Run.
Right.
They're in the guys that fish here all the time. They're trying to get their big fish back. You know, there's not a whole lot of 50-inchers in that lake, I guess, anymore like there used to be. no expert on what's going on down there, just from what I hear from some of the guys that fish there a lot. But I don't know. I'd like to see it get passed for them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for the guys that have been doing it and put their time in and been conservationists and sportsmen, and, you know, the heck yeah, everybody wants to catch a big fish, you know.
Well, it's just right now I think the legal limit is 36 inches or something. But I just don't know who's keeping them. I don't know why they – I guess the bass fishermen don't like them. You know how that goes.
Right.
Well, bass fishermen don't like – I know in Cumberland they don't care a lot for the stripers.
Right.
I'm not saying all of them. I just the ones I run into.
Right. It's same here with the pickerel, the bass fishermen. They hate pickerel.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And we've got a nice population of big pickerel in February when there's nothing else going on and it's cold and the duck season's over with. I like catching them.
Yeah.
And I release them, you know.
Right. It's just fun. So,
but it's the biggest game in town at that time of the year, you know.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants everything their way, John, it seems like.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Deer hunters, everybody, turkey hunters, good Lord.
Yeah, I heard a man say one time, he said, we're a fast food society. We want it the way we want it, when we want it.
We want it, yeah. And if people see someone doing something, even down to me training Cash and taking him out hunting, killed one of these guys, so I used to run around with. But he does the big dog training and all this and that and has great dogs, and he's a wealth of knowledge on it. But I took that little $400 dog out, and he kicked the crap out of it. You know, he don't know what he's doing. All he's doing is going to get the ducks and bring them back to me. He's happy as me. And that guy got so tore up, son, he deleted me from social media and everything. I mean, I was like, how childish could you be over a dog?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And even the guys that went with me out to Kansas unfriended them. And he was friends with all of them. Or, well, you know, we thought he was. But, you know, he was always the big wig with the dogs around here. You know what I'm saying? And
right, right.
I don't know. I was like, good Lord, how old are you?
Yeah, I totally don't get that at all.
It's just people, toxic.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you said, fast food society. But
yeah.
And so, John, we've already been talking an hour outdoors, so we have to talk a little bit about this political situation we're in right now. So
yeah.
What's going down? Who's going to be president 4 years from now?
I hope Donald J. Trump.
You would think.
You know, this is a total clown. I'm expecting them to show up in clown suits anytime. It's just unfathomable. You know, everything that we've worked hard to fix, make better over the last 4 years, destroyed in what, 24 hours?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't get it.
Well, you know, it's just constant, you know, divide and conquer. I mean, I've been hearing that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Just division and the powerful people, you know, they have the media in their pocket, and people are just so, I don't know, gullible.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
Well, I go back to, I don't think as many people were as gullible as what they made out to be, though. You know,
well, I agree.
I think that Trump got way more votes than what anybody knows. We'll probably never know. Maybe you know, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
These private guys are still, they're not quitting on it. They're not giving it up. They're spending their own money. Millions in fighting it, and lawyers, Lynn Woods and Sidney Powell. You know, I don't think they're giving up either, and we may find out. But I think the media, like you say, all the majority of the news media is owned by the same people. If you follow the money,
oh, China, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, like Disney World, that's owned by China. Did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, come on, people. How can you not see through that? I mean, okay, here's China. Well, China wouldn't do that to us. Well, sure they would.
Absolutely.
So Trump knows this. He goes after them. We see it. He was as transparent as he could be to the American people, even having to go against the media, right?
Right.
So he's smacking China pretty good, doing what's right for America. And China releases the virus. I mean, it's not even a secret, and everybody's like, "Hey, whatever."
Yeah.
No big
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, that's amazing to me.
But, I mean, is that not a good Lord? How is that? And people just think it's an accident.
Yeah, no way. There's no way.
There's no way.
Too many pieces to this puzzle that are fitting together, you know?
Yeah, it just blows my mind. I mean, how about gas prices already? But, you know, Facebook, they're going to fact check you and say gas prices, they're not rising. Well, I know they're rising. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You can take a page off the CDC web page and post it, and they'll put false information or partly false information or something on there to discredit it.
But how can that not be both sides? That's not good. I mean, yeah. I told you earlier before we pushed the record button, you know, if they were to censor Joe Biden, even though I'm not a Joe Biden guy, I'd be like, that's not good.
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree 100%. And it's totally not like that. It's all one-sided, you know. There's only one side getting biased, one side getting censored here, period.
And think about that. I mean, people, you would think people have seen this way back in Little League, for crying out loud. It's the same thing.
Right, you know, exactly.
It's the same crap that's going on. I don't know, John. So, you said Donald J. Trump. Who's going to run with him? Old DeSante or whatever? What's your opinion on that?
That would be a good one. I don't know. I don't really know about that. I don't think you got to worry about Pence.
No, he's a goner.
Our governor, Larry Hogan, has basically politicked on our dime for the last year, trying to make himself look good to run in that race. But he don't stand a chance.
Well, what about Candace Owens?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think that would be good?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you're talking about, think about this. Now what are you going to do for the left? You're going to be able to play that card you've been playing forever. Just to cause division.
Right.
That's all it is.
I'm totally on board with Candace.
Oh my gosh, who doesn't love her?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of them that have stood up for America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily Donald Trump, but they've stood up for the Constitution and we the people.
Yeah, that's all I care about. The Constitution.
Absolutely.
You know,
I never followed Donald Trump when he was just a rich guy with TV shows. You know, I guess. That's good. It didn't influence me. And I think that's part of the problem why some people hate him. Mm-hmm. They thought he was just an arrogant, rich guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I never saw that side. I didn't follow him. I didn't care. All I know is the man come out, and when he said something, well, number one, he was a successful businessman. I would have voted for Ross Perot back in the day had he not backed out, but I understand why he did, because he didn't want to split the vote. But number two, when he said he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit more.
Well,
so
here's
my book. He was the best president ever
my
lifetime.
He's the best president ever. He was transparent. He backed up what he said he was going to do, like you said. But it's policies. I could give a crap less if I like him or not.
Right.
I mean, it has nothing to do with, you know, when you go buy a truck, you know, that car salesman, you're going to probably like him. He's going to come out there and he's going to be nice to you. You know what I'm saying? He's going to kiss your butt, tell you everything you want to hear until you sign that paper. I mean,
exactly.
You know, come on. It's policies. That's all I give a crap about. I don't want to go drink no beer with Donald J. Trump. I mean, you know, but he was the best president for us, for the American working people.
Absolutely.
And how can you not see that?
Right.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, the amount of politicians in D.C. that were sold out to backdoor deals was more than we ever imagined.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Mitch McConnell, he's a joke right down here in Kentucky.
Yes.
I think Lindsey Graham is a snake in the grass, if there ever was one.
Genuine clown.
Oh, both, yeah, clowns for sure. I thought they already got us and censored us before I even put it down on the podcast platforms. You know they're listening. China's listening right now on the phone.
You're right.
They're like,
right.
Listen to these dudes. They figure us out. Ooh, we got to smash them. Hunting Out Loud is gone. Hey, buddy, they don't care. They're ruthless.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They've shown that. You know.
It's sad. So I don't know. Maybe it's awakening enough people that they'll get it fixed and turn around. Like you said, 2022 is going to be the big year right there.
Yeah, I've heard a number, and I don't remember, so I don't want to quote that number, but there was a high number of seats that were going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the good thing is it's exposed to all these people, the rhinos, the corrupt ones.
Yeah.
And they can be primaried in 2022. And my wife told me earlier that a number of states, and it was a high number, have already working on changing laws for voter reform, which is good.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And we need that, number one, first and foremost, period.
Yeah.
I think that they used the COVID in conjunction with China to overturn this election and to just have their way with it. And they did it. You know, they got away with it.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, you know, they're not going to be able to play that trick again. And they know that.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that's why he's hammering down with these executive orders and all that stuff. Tyrants could not. I was thinking about I don't know. You can just go on. We can go on and on about these politics, but we'll just see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, I just tell people, look, yeah, I know you know, we feel helpless, but there's one thing we can do, and that's make some phone calls and put some emails out there to our senators and say, you know, like H.R. 1, for example. You know, my wife and I have already called our senator and said, look, we oppose H.R. 1.
Mm-hmm.
It is not good for our country. It goes against the Constitution and rights of the people of the United States of America, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we will be primarying. Told them right on the phone, we will be primarying people who support that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the lead. It's a big thing, really, but it's the least we can do.
Well, we talked about earlier, they're trying to make us, the media, you know, make us feel like we're the minority. You know, people that love freedom and the rights, the Constitution.
Right.
And
they're doing a pretty good job on TV.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know who in the world even watches that stuff anymore. Even if, you know, if you're for Democrats, if you're just a hardcore Democrat, I mean, got to get good Democrats in there. We got to get these old corrupt people out. I mean, we was talking about Tulsi Gabbard earlier. I mean, I don't agree with everything she does, but I do believe she believes in the Constitution and she loves her country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Different generation of Democrats. Real quick, the quick version of Mo Brooks. He was in a Democratic jurisdiction. He run as a Republican, and he didn't know why. He said he just wanted to be like Ronald Reagan, he guessed. He didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he ran. Well, this was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they... people were calling him at the end of the day, say, look, Mo, I tried to vote for you today, but the machine wouldn't let me. Well, long story, there was an investigation. Somebody had rigged those lever machines back in the 80s to not be able to vote for Mo Brooks. Well, the Democrats at the poll place said, well, look, if you want to vote for Mo Brooks, write your name on the wall. So they did. And at the end of the day, Mo Brooks won.
Wow.
But it was a different generation of Democrats that were able to compromise or be fair and not just one-sided, you know, my way or no way. You know what I mean?
Well, this Democratic Party has been hijacked for sure. Both sides,
I guess,
really.
I guess the money is just too good and too tempting.
Huh. My goodness. Pretty bad. I don't know how people justify that. I don't know.
There's only one word in my vocabulary, and that's traitor.
That's a traitor. You're exactly right. They're a bunch of traitors.
Yeah, if you're a traitor to the United States of America, yep. That's the only way I know how to put it.
I mean, you're selling out your own, the next generation, the poor kids, they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
And people our age that stand for all this, you know, it's hard. I can't even.
Yeah.
But you know what? I might know two people, you know, out of all the people I know that even voted for Joe Biden or was, pulling for Joe Biden.
Right. That's why I say the number, if we could ever see that actual vote, and I bet you right now, the people that are having buyer's remorse with O. Biden,
mm-hmm.
The number would be even higher of votes for Trump.
You would think.
I think it would blow your mind, you know, the actual number that he actually got.
Well, we'll see what happens. 2022 and, of course, 2024, it's going to be big. So.
Yeah.
It's going to go one way or another for me. I already made my mind up. I'm going to keep it to myself.
Amen. Second that.
It is what it is, isn't it? So I'm going to live free or die. That's what they say.
I'm with you, brother. I've lived a good life.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, we have kids and
I do.
Grandchildren.
That's what I'm really worried about.
And I want them to live.
They're the ones that got to pay for all this mess.
You know, I'm thinking things have changed so much. When I was a kid, it was like even the bullies would open the door for the respect the elderly. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
It's just a different world, and now there's no respect at all. It doesn't seem. Oh shoot! My daggone mic is getting away from me. I'm getting all hyped up on this. Talking about
it. It's easy to do these days.
How about knocked it off the table? Oh well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, we talked turkey hunting, waterfowl. We got on the striper kick again. But that's just interesting to me. And, John, I hope you have good luck this turkey season.
Yeah, same to you, Robbie. And ours comes in the 19th of April.
Oh, ours is the 17th, so I'll be kicking it in a little bit sooner, just a couple days.
Yeah. We have two youth days, Saturday and Sunday, 17th and 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Monday kicks off the regular turkey season, so I'm very. I think I know where I'm going to be sitting.
Now. Yeah, you found a good spot. You got the honey hole already picked out for sure. Hey, you know, someone had invited me on a trip out to Montana to turkey hunt, and I'm not going to be able to go. But man, if you was talking about going out west, I mean, have you done any hunting out west, big game or turkey or ducks or anything?
No, it's kind of a bucket list.
Yeah, so what is the bucket list? I know the waterfowl, but other than that, I mean, if you can get out there, what are you going to be pursuing?
Man, you know, always since I was a 14-year-old boy has been a giant muley.
Oh, my gosh.
Stalking a giant muley and on the plains, you know,
mm-hmm.
low cover, you know, high grass, low cover. That's been a bucket list of mine. And, that's, if I had to, do something, besides the waterfowl hunt that with my son and his friends or whatever, that would be it. That'd be my number one bucket list.
Mm. Well, I tell you, I don't know if you listened, but listen to the Dan, Shelton episode. He's always going out west, man. He's a wealth of knowledge on all that stuff. I'll tell you, I was wanting to, plan a pronghorn hunt. I figure I'd start with the pronghorn, antelope, whatever you want to call it, and try to figure, man, it is so, if you've never done it, it's overwhelming just trying to figure out where to get drawn or have you ever looked into it?
Yeah, I actually have.
Wow. Does that not blow you away or is it just me?
It's very, very mind blowing to you know, all the detail and the things that you have to do to get it lined up.
Yeah. I mean, my God. I was thinking, geez. I don't know if I can handle this or not. Oh, good Lord.
But yeah.
So, all right, man. Well, good luck and keep in touch. Good luck with old Teal. I'll be excited to see him get his first duck here this fall.
Yeah, yeah, us too. And thank you, and thank you for having me on the podcast. And good luck to you this spring. And I hope you kill a couple great babies.
Hopefully, we'll see what happens. Take care, John. Hey, John, hang on here for a second if you don't mind. We'll see you all later. And Biden still sucks, just so you all know, to hit the stop button.
Amen.